Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Bring us in, babe.
Welcome to Coco Caliente.
Welcome to another edition of Coco Caliente. Nicole and I are kind of in a, I sound groggy. Do I sound groggy?
Yeah, you sound kind of sick or something. But yeah. We are groggy because a little bit. We went to New York for 48 hours and then came home at 6 a.m. yesterday. We flew out and then I had to go all day bridesmaid dress shopping, which was super fun, but it was exhausting. So I drove 3 hours home, had to hurry and get ready, drove 2 hours to bridesmaid shopping, then drive 2 hours back.
Yeah, it's just been a busy, I guess, 48 now. What's 48 plus 24?
72 hours.
It's been a busy 72 hours, and then I got to go back to work today. So, but it was fun. New York is always fun. Mm-hmm. We went over there originally because Nicole was doing some stuff for possible wedding dresses. Mm-hmm. And I guess she'll update you with that later down the line. But we went with her parents.
Yeah, it was the first time they've been to New York, and it was very hard to schedule this trip because Victor's work schedule and then my dad's work schedule. He is retired, but he also still works for the village, so he has like kind of weekends off, but he could take days off. And then my mom kind of coordinating everything with the dogs and just finding a couple days that everybody could go, and we finally did, and it was really fun.
Yeah, it was funny to see how shocked they were of like what mankind can do, right? Mm-hmm. So you see New York and that's like the epitome of like what we can do, like building these huge skyscrapers and having these huge like electronic billboards that have all this stuff running on it. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of fun. And then me and Dave got to explore the city on our own. I mean, maybe for like 2 hours, but it was still a lot of fun. We were just walking around looking at things, you know, trying beers at different bars and like playing games. And so it was a good time, but it always reminds you of how expensive New York is.
It's insanely expensive. Like, we went to the Broadway show Lion King. It was amazing.
Oh, that's a whole nother topic.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But a can of beer there, just a normal 12-ounce can of beer, was $12.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard. Okay, so we go and stop and get a drink at a bar. It's mm-hmm. like $60 for all, just to have one, like, small
for
beer.
For each person to have a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's only four of us, and it's like, oh, that's 60 bucks. And it's like, oh, my gosh.
Even just, like, our food, and a lot of times you might order something off a menu, and you don't like it. And then you're like, I just paid 30 bucks for this. Suck it up and eat it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, one of the Uber drivers that we were talking to is like, yeah, you need to make 100 grand here to be
paycheck to paycheck. In a studio apartment.
Like, and that's, like, in the Manhattan, you know, New York area. And I'm mm-hmm. just like, that is bizarre. You know, if I'm making over 100 grand or 100 grand a year, I thought I made it, you know?
Yeah.
But, geez, I mean, I don't know. The real estate there is just crazy and how bunched up everything is and how expensive everything is. I just can't imagine living there.
And the other shock factor comes from, like, the trash on the street, I think. Just how they literally throw their trash on the street and there's, like, 50 bags piled up on the side. It's crazy.
Yeah, so basically, I guess pretty much every night except the weekends, I think except Saturday, they said, mm-hmm. maybe Sunday. But every night, everybody puts their trash on the sidewalk and then the trash people pick it up in the morning. But you're in the city, right? So it's not like you have like a spot, you know, if like you're in front of your house or you put trash one day a week. Every night they have it out there. So it kind of looks a little trashy.
You just walk around the trash. You just walk around the trash. It's like, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was a lot of fun though. We had a great time. And the mm-hmm. Lion King. Mm-hmm. So we had never gone. I don't know. Have you gone to
Frankie Grande's Broadway show.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. okay. But have you gone to like a grandiose Broadway show, like a whole?
No, I went to Rock of Ages. I don't know what you'd call that.
I don't know. Where was that at?
It was in New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you did. So you have gone to a Broadway show.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the first time that I have gone to a Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
But have you seen it, such a big one like that?
No, like all the characters. This was a big cast.
Yeah, they did an amazing job making you feel like it was legit Lion King.
Yes, the people turned into animals, and it was believable.
Yeah, like they were walking around like on giraffes, stilts. Like tall ass giraffes mm-hmm. on stilts. Like the hyenas looked like hyenas.
Yes,
the way they were acting, even the actors that were like, you know, Simba or Mufasa, the way they would move their shoulders as they were talking or walking, or constantly moving their head, very animal like. But it was awesome. It was an awesome show.
Oh, I highly, 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 highly recommend it. Like, yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, so that show was crazy. And the props, like, not just like the props that they had as animals, but how they would have people with grass on their head, and then they would have the little puppets of the of Simba and Nala, like, running through the grass like they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, little things like that. And it's hard for you to imagine that in your mind as I'm saying it, like, oh, guys with blades of grass on their head. But, like, how they had it set up, it literally looked like these animals were running on grass.
Yeah, the background, I cannot believe the production that goes into that. And, like, the thoughts that go into each scene, like, recreating a scene and making it seem real, and the stuff that pops up out of the ground. Even the stars in the night sky, it's so believable. So, yeah.
Or them creating like that jungle scene and everything like looking kind of jungle-esque,
yeah,
you know, like all that. I mean,
and then they have like live percussion and the instruments up on the top. So all the sounds that are coming from them.
Yeah, they're making all the music right there.
Live.
Yeah.
And if you have a chance to go. They are kind of expensive, but it's worth it. If you're going to spend your money and something in New York, spend it on a Broadway show.
Yeah, it was definitely a good time. And we also got to meet up with our good buddy Paul, Paul Abrahamian.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nice meeting up with him, fellow Big Brother 18 cast member.
He just feels like family. Like, there's a bond between us that will never go away. We've been through some crap together.
Yeah, and I mean, we've been, friends now since 16, 17, 18, 19, like 4 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a solid amount of time to stay in contact with somebody, especially when somebody lives far away, and we meet up with him at least once a year. Maybe
yeah.
twice.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that was really cool, and we hung out with him for a little bit. And then Eliza showed up for a little bit from Amazing Race. So, I don't know. It was nice to catch up with people. It was a lot of fun.
We made the most of our 48 hours. We literally sat in our hotel just to get ready. It was like a rush
to get ready.
To
sleep.
Yep. So I think that was a very well-spent 48 hours. And I was kind of sad when it was time to go. I was like, one more day.
I know.
We didn't go into one shopping store. We didn't go into...
I'm proud of Nicole.
We didn't go into like anything like that.
I am so proud of Nicole.
Not even... We did get pizza. Last night, we were looking for pizza on our way home from the Broadway show. We're like, we need New York pizza.
We finally found it, mm-hmm. and it was literally 99-cent pizza. Everything in New York is expensive.
Except that
we bought a whole pizza, which you can't do anywhere else, for $8.
It was delicious.
Huge. It was really good, and it was massive. But the trick there is they only sell cheese pizza.
Which I like.
But it's still eight. You can't beat that. $1 a slice, $8 for a whole pizza.
Yeah. Why is pizza okay? Why is that so affordable?
But I don't know.
Every other meal, I paid $5 for a water bottle.
Oh yeah.
A couple times
at that Lion King show again. So Nicole was talking about the beer. So the wine, it was $12
for
two ounces. And he's like, so do you want a single, a double, or a triple? And then the triple will be like your normal 8 ounce glass. And
$36
of $36 for 8 ounces?
And
are you kidding me?
It wasn't even like cork. It wasn't even cork wine. It was just like a screw off bottle that was.
I'm like, oh no! I was like, you know what? I'll just have the water for Nicole. Yeah, I don't need to drink anything tonight. Like that was crazy. If there's any recommendation I can make, lower your prices. More people would buy it. I didn't see anybody that bought anything but like water over there.
And then they would refill it at the drinking fountain. But now if you hear this, you can bring in water. Had we known, we would have saved tons of money because you can bring in your own water. It's crazy. So if you are going to a Broadway show, bring in a bottle of water and then just refill it.
Oh, and that reminds me, we also went to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum over there in New York, and that was amazing. It was a breathtaking experience. It was very sad. I mean, it's definitely a heart-wrencher, right? A tearjerker, but it's good to know the history.
It puts everything into perspective. Sometimes it's like if you're not there, if you're not living there, if you don't have a relative that was directly affected, you're just like, wow, that's really, really sad. But you don't like feel – when you're there, you just like felt everything like, oh my gosh, this is way more insane. And just picking up the phone and hearing people's last messages to their wives and seeing a lot of things, it was – I mean – I'm really happy we went to that. I would highly recommend you go see that as well.
Yep, definitely a must see when you go to New York on your next trip.
So waking up, getting ready for work, deciding, is today going to be a stylish day or a comfortable day? Now, thanks to Beta Brand Dress Pant Yoga Pants, you do not have to decide. These pants are stylish, they're comfortable, they're professional, and you shouldn't have to just pick one of those. With Beta Brand, you never have to sacrifice comfort or function for style. They're super comfy, perfectly stretchy, and stay wrinkle-free. They have the style of dress pants with the stretch, fit, and feel of yoga pants. Whatever your style, Beta Brand has the pants to match. Choose from dozens of colors, patterns, and cuts and styles like boot cut, straight leg, skinny, cropped, and more. They even have a pair with eight pockets. That's a ton of pockets. And now they offer premium denim with the same flexibility and comfort as yoga pants. Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their first order when you go to betabrand.com/coco, C-O-C-O. That's 20% off your first order at betabrand.com/coco. Millions of women agree these are the most comfortable pants you'll ever wear to work. Go to betabrand.com/coco for 20% off.
Now, moving forward, we have a fun guest for you today. One of the more fun guys on the TV show, the Netflix hit series, The Circle.
Shubi. We got Shubi on the show. So enjoy. He's my favorite because he just is so real, honest, and raw. Yeah. And he's like hyped up.
So. Yeah, he is hyped up. He had a lot of energy. So you guys enjoy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
What are you up to? Or what are we interrupting for you right now? What were you supposed to be doing today that now you're with us?
Oh, nothing, man. Probably just sleeping and doing my boring work. Yeah.
Okay, let's start there. What do you do for work?
Right now I'm doing data analytics for a startup, and then we're working on growing the company. So, yeah.
Okay, so let me pronounce your name correctly. So if you can pronounce it for me just to make... I think Nicole
Shubham?
Has it down.
Shubham.
Shubham. Okay, so where are you... where's your family originally from, Shubham?
Yeah, so they're originally from India, and then they moved to California in the 1980s. And yeah, so I was born and raised in the Bay Area.
Okay. So does it get you... Because I know some people ask me, like, oh, so where are you from? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm from... You know, the U.S. No, but like, where are you from? It's like, well, no, I was born in Waukegan, Illinois. It's like, okay.
Oh, yeah, man. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, when they ask, I never know, like, how in-depth they want. So I always just like, in-depth I know, and then.
Just kind of go from there. That's funny. So data analytics. I'm sorry. For people that are listening right now that have no idea.
I have no idea.
No, before that, Shubham Goel, right?
Goel, yeah.
Goel. He was a contestant on The Circle, and you were a fan favorite. Is that correct?
I'm not really sure. I mean, yeah.
You are my favorite, and I think you are a lot of people's favorite.
That's what I read. I did some research, and it said you were a fan favorite. So
a lot. Fans of both of you, yeah.
Okay, so you do data analytics. So what does that mean? What degree did you get? Was it like an engineering
I went to UCLA and I got a degree in economics. And so, like, I do data analytics, but a lot of it is, like, growth and stuff. So I'm a co-founder at this software company. But anyways, so, like, data analytics in a nutshell is just we're looking at, like, large amounts of data, and we're trying to see, like, the reason why the data is doing what it does. So you're trying to find a story for what the data is doing. And, yeah, so basically it's just like that. And then you're just trying to build graphs and see trends in your data. Just to, you know, I think it is relevant to everyone just because we live in a big data world. So, yeah.
Yeah, for most people, nobody knows what you're talking about. And then down the line, when you guys discover something or become billionaires or something, they make a documentary and they're like, oh, yeah, those graphs.
No, I always say it's much easier than people think. It really is, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you it just takes time is all.
Yeah. It sounds kind of fun to figure out, like, the story behind why things are happening.
Yeah, no, for sure. It is kind of like a mystery in a weird way, you know, like the circle where you're trying to discover stuff or these games. Yeah, so it is fun in that sense, yeah.
So, okay, so guy, graduate, you said UCLA, correct?
Yes.
So you graduate UCLA. You, when between that and working, and where did the circle happen between all that?
Yeah, so I graduated about, I think almost 3 years ago, and then I saw, like, my friend showed me an ad for The Circle about, like, it feels like yesterday, but I guess it was, like, almost a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, then, you know, the process is it's, like, about 4 to 6 months of just auditioning and going through the stages, and then we filmed it, and then, yeah, so.
I was wondering how you got on because you aren't someone that is into social media, well, prior to this anyways. So yeah, I was like, how did he end up on, like, I thought maybe they found you or something.
No. So I'm a big, Big Brother and Survivor fan. And I, you know, I went through the casting for both of them and I got really cool.
Oh, dang. Yeah, I thought you'd be so great on Big Brother when I saw you on The Circle. You're TV gold, man.
So, like, I got really close to both of them. Like, I made it to the finals and stuff just because I've always loved it goes and stuff. And so my friend knew that, right? We always talk about Big Brother and Survivor. And he saw, like, a Facebook ad for the show. And I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. It's like another variation of, like, one of these types of game shows. And I thought someone like me with my views, I thought it'd be interesting to see how someone like me would do on the show. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I did not know that you applied for Big Brother and Survivor.
Well, they lost a good one.
Yeah, they really did. They really did.
Are you currently watching the most recent season of
Survivor?
I am. Yeah. No, I am. I think it's insanely awesome how they got all the winners back. That's so cool.
Me too.
I'm surprised that the back-to-back winners aren't out yet.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting, man.
Yeah, that is crazy. So you're working in engineering. You're doing all this stuff, and then you decide to do The Circle. What does your family think about this when you're deciding to do this stuff or when you're going through it?
Oh, man, they're so stoked because they, like, they about, like, my, like, I love for this type of stuff. And, yeah, I mean, they were so supportive. And they thought, like, this concept was so innovative and revolutionary. So they were so supportive. They were just so excited. They just wanted me to not be the first one out. So they were stoked, you know?
I know. And when it was, like, watching, and then when you were ranked last or whatever, I was like, please don't get him out because I knew you were going to be, like, such great TV. And you were the only one that was, like, very anti-social media and just real and raw to yourself. So were you freaking out a little bit? I mean, it showed you kind of freaking out, but were you really like, oh, my God, I could really be the first one off?
Yeah, people don't realize, like, so in the game, when I saw the first 8 faces come on the board for the first time, I had this really dark feeling in myself, like, this is it. And, like, so when I got 8th place, I'm like, I'm done. It didn't show, but the at-risk chat with all the people who are up for elimination, I gave a whole paragraph telling them, guys, I'm leaving, this is it. Everyone voted me 8th, the influencers are going to send me home. I was just so sad because it's like, to get on one of these shows, the odds are so minimal, right? So, especially for me, like, I was trying for so long, and then to know that, like, I'm the first one out, it feels like a novelty act, you know? Like, I just feel so sad, like, I didn't get to play the game I wanted to, or at least fight, and it was just, yeah, it was extremely, like, devastating. Yeah.
I know your pain in my season of Big Brother.
Yeah, I know, man. You fought your way back, you know?
So yeah, but sick. I thought,
thankfully, he had an opportunity, though. A lot of times there's no opportunity to come back. No,
it's very rare what happened, yeah.
In my mind, I was like exactly what you said. I was like, oh, my God, that's it. Nobody's ever going to care. Nobody's going to remember. Yeah. This is embarrassing, right? I got to go back to my family. Yeah. That's everything that I'm thinking. And then, you know, lo and behold, there is a chance. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man. And that's why, like, I love, like, your redemption thing. Like, the way you fought back, not just once, but twice. And then you got close to the end. That was really cool. So, like, you know, it is, my heart always goes out for people who go out on night one. Mm-hmm. Because it sucks. It's just, it's a bad position to be in.
Yeah. You know, and someone has to go out, and that's the hardest thing. And they didn't have a chance to, like, show themselves who they are, how great they could be.
Yeah, shout out Glenn Garcia. Less than 24 hours. Oh, man. So I'm interested in, like Nicole was saying earlier, your relationship with social media pre The Circle. What were your thoughts on it? You know, and you feel free to be open because we'll let you go full circle, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that.
No pun intended.
No, man, my thing is, because, like, I came from the tech world and stuff, the way I looked at social media is, like, I read a lot of papers about how, like, the early designers were using all these addictive measures, right, to keep us coming back to their platforms. Like, you know, like, it's like the random variable effect. Every time you go on Twitter or Facebook, you have a new timeline. You might have a new friend request or a new follower. They use the red notifications. It's a lot like the slot machine. So, and a lot of the reports were saying that social media is terrible for our mental health.
Yeah.
So, like, before The Circle, I just came into it thinking, like, social media was this terrible thing. And, you know, I just thought it was doing so much bad for the mental health of everyone across the world. But then obviously, like, I went into The Circle, right? And, like, I had the time of my life, and, you know, it was crazy because I built these, like, really strong relationships through this platform, this social media platform. And, I mean, in a way, like, I thought I was the one who's going to teach everyone a lot, but I learned the most about social media. But so, like, where I stand now, right? So I do still think the addiction and the mental health is still there. So those are big, like, red flags for me. But I have seen the positives. Like, you can build communities online. You can, like, raise charities. You can just make friends and then just raise awareness for charities. So I think it's good and bad. So before, I would just look at the bad and think it's, like, this terrible, dark entity into the abyss. But now it's, you know, I see the positives as well.
Absolutely, because I have my reservations about it as well, and it's exactly the part that you're talking about. It's that addiction side and how it's something that's not being spoken about in terms of, like, the younger generations that are getting – I mean, it's as addictive as any other addictive substance, right?
Yeah.
And it does have the effects on your mental health, and it's just kind of crazy. But – like you said, silver lining, there is a lot of good in it. So it's like a catch-22 when it comes to social media.
Yeah, exactly, man. And that's what I've come to realize, you know, yeah, that it is good and bad for sure.
So what was your – so you get on The Circle, you're on there. What are you thinking, like, strategy-wise? Because this is like a different show that nobody's ever seen before. You can't see anybody face-to-face. So what are you thinking? Like, what do I have to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, my strategy from the beginning was just to, like – I knew – so if I was myself, I could build really strong bonds. So that was one strategy. Another thing was, like, on day one, just start building alliances, like, with, like, one or two people, like, ride or dies and stuff. So that's what I did. I went into the game. I built alliances and great friendships with, like, people like Seabird and then Joey. And then it went off to Chris and then it went off to Sammy, right? Mm-hmm. And but for me, I had to adapt, right? Because when I got eighth place, it was like, shit, you know, so I gotta do something different. So at that point, I just started putting all my whole soul into everything and just, like, throwing it all out there. And, like, I was really vulnerable. And I think that's what skyrocketed. And then, you know, it kept adapting because I kept getting influencer. I just kept going back to Big Brother and Survivor where I'm like, shit, I have the biggest on my back. I gotta tank myself or I just gotta preserve my power. So what I chose to do is to preserve the power. And what I made was, I was like, my strategy in the middle of the game was, if I can get the five original people to come together because we're the bigger targets, and then make it like a hotel lobby door, right? New people come in, new people come out, right? Mm-hmm. Just paint the target on the new people. Then that would just put the target on their back, and, like, no one would just realize, like, I kept winning influencer. So I just at the end of the day, I just focus on building strong relationships and genuine relationships with the originals. And yeah, and then I was myself. So I thought everyone knew where I stood. And if I told you something about who I was going to save or who I was going after, I did it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That is very – were you a very social person before?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty social for the most part. I mean, in this game, though, the thing is, like, I was more social with people I would never be social with. So that was the big difference.
Okay. And a little sidebar for this, because this is super interesting for me, and I guess it also relates to the game a little bit. So you ran for governor of California in 2018, right?
Yeah.
And you were the youngest candidate at the time. So what was that like? What led you to do that, and what was that experience like? And I mean, it's just so many questions.
That's intriguing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, thanks, man. No, I mean, look, I thought when I found out you only had to be 18 to run for governor in California, and you only needed, like, I think 75 ballot signatures, I thought this was such a great opportunity because I've always wanted to run an office. And, you know, there were a lot of platforms and ideas with my experience I thought I could bring to California because I was born and raised here. And I thought more than anything, it would just be a great experience and a great opportunity. So I just decided to run. I mean, it's very unconventional, but I just thought something in my gut was telling me just to run that shit, shoot the shot, you know? Let it rip. So I just did it. And it was so fun. The people I met, I would go to every state town in California and give these speeches. I would try to crash the debates, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just so fun. And yeah, I learned a lot and I wanted to help. So I just did it.
How expensive is it to run even just like a smaller campaign?
Yeah. So I ran as an independent, so my expenses were pretty minimal, but I had to pay the ballot fee to get on the ballot. So it's about $4,000 to get on the ballot.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
But it was worth it to me. But yeah, it's a lot of money.
I mean, hey, that's a heck of an experience. And I guess where you were trying to rally the people of the circle, right?
Yeah.
That's funny.
That is really cool. So, a couple questions that I had.
Sure.
When you're in there, right? You at any moment, at any time, you can message somebody and talk to them. Is that how that works? And that's how you build those alliances with those people?
No, man. And that's the biggest difference between like our game and like your game with Big Brother. It's not instantaneous. It's not like Facebook where you can instantaneously message people. You get like 2 or 3 chats a day, and you have to go to the. You have to tell the voices, like, which chats you want to prioritize. So, in a sense, you have to be strategic. Like, who should I check in with? Who should I branch out to? So, yeah, we get, like, 2 or 3 chats. Maybe you'll get, like, 1 or 2 group chats a day. Yeah.
I kind of like that aspect of it because otherwise everyone could just chat with whoever they wanted all day. And it could be that's, like, overwhelming as a player. Like, okay, now I have to chat for 12 hours with everyone and make sure – you know, that would be so stressful. Whereas, okay, you know that you're making moves and you can like, okay, this is why I'm making the move in my head strategically. And I feel good about that. So that's like takes a lot off your shoulders kind of in a weird way.
Yeah. I think narratively, it also is a lot easier just to do it that way. Mm-hmm. I do think if it was instantaneous, the game would become 180 degrees, like more tactical if it was like instantaneous and stuff. But no, I get you 100%.
And another thing with your gameplay is that I think you guys were all very like nice to each other. Whereas strategically watching it, I knew that you had some competition in the end, but you were never thinking of like, okay, this person could beat me. You were just kind of like, no, I'm going to keep them around because like they have my back. And it showed Joey, thinking about putting you like at the bottom because he knew potentially that you could win in the end. So what were you like being, you kind of seem like you'd be a very strategic person. Mm-hmm. So were you just kind of more playing with your feelings and emotions rather than strategically trying to win the money?
It was complicated. I got so emotional in the game and it's crazy because I'm such a fan of the strategy. Mm-hmm. So like, you always feel that confliction of strategy or emotion. And, you know, there were times where I was like, should I get rid of Chris? Should I get rid of Sammy? These people are big threats at the end, but I never did it. And especially at the vote at the end, I was conflicted. I'm like, I know I'm going to win this season. Mm-hmm. Let me just tank Joey to 5. Let me put Sammy at 4. Mm-hmm. I win the game right here, right now. But I just got so emotional, you know, so I didn't.
And what's crazy is you're emotional and you didn't even have to like look them in the face afterwards. Where in Big Brother, it's like they look at you and they know you flipped your vote and you have they can confront you. You were doing it on like a computer screen behind closed doors. So it's like so crazy to me that it was that emotional without even having the confrontation of it all.
I think at the end of the day, like why these games people get so emotional is you're closed off from the outside world. Mm-hmm. In all aspects. So it really puts you to focus on these other people.
So back to the messages thing. So if somebody, let's say, like you said, you only have three messages that you could do, let's say, throughout the day.
Yeah.
So you, on the other side of that, right, you're thinking, I don't know, one of my people that I normally talk to didn't message me today. Do you think that's, like, suspect? Are they, like... Why didn't they talk to me, or why haven't they talked to me in 2 days? Are they talking to a bunch of other people? Is this really, are they like, what's going on with my game right now? Does that make you like super paranoid?
Yeah. I mean, dude, yeah, definitely, man. There's a lot of paranoia going on, and that's why I made it clear. Like I would check in a lot with Rebecca or Joey, you know, every, at least other day, just so we're all on the same page. Cause the game was happening so fast paced, but you're right, man. Like a lot of times it's like, you got to check. For me, it was about checking in with the closest people to me. And then branching out a lot. What was interesting, like for someone like Sammy and me, we didn't chat much, but like from her and me, we were always really close, even though we didn't get to chat much. So like her and me were the exception where like we knew where we stood, even though we weren't chatting a lot. But yeah, you're right, man. Paranoia is so rampant, especially where you can't even see the other person.
and then also, how did you fare being alone for all that time? But how long would you say that you were in there?
I mean, the game itself from the beginning to the end was about like 14 days, I would think.
Okay.
I mean, man, I loved it, to be honest. It was so fun. I had the time of my life. And like producers would always like come in and out with food, and they'd like keep us company like to the balcony or to like, you know, gym time. And people were always like voices in the room. So we were never really... I enjoyed it. I really did. I loved the game. It was so fun.
Was it a nice reset from the world?
Yeah, man. It was such a good break from the world because you have no responsibilities. And it feels like, especially you two, you guys would know, like when you go in this game, in these games, it just feels like your life is just different. Not from what happens from the show, but just like that you're doing something very different and it feels really nice.
Mm-hmm. And so how does it feel for you now that you've done a show on Netflix that's never been done before? It's been wildly successful and like being able to watch it all the time on Netflix, like that has to be weird.
Oh yeah, man. It is bizarre in the sense like with you guys, right? It airs once, not one, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
there is that liberty where it's, you know, it's done now. It's just post life. Right. But it's interesting with Netflix because people keep like watching it. So I get new messages every day, like I just finished it. But yeah, man, I'm really grateful. It's just, it's crazy because Netflix is global. So I get messages from like people in South Africa or India or Mexico, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I was thinking because Netflix has somewhere in the upwards of 600 and some odd million subscribers around the world.
So it is crazy in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you, so essentially you'd probably be translated into all these languages.
And, oh yeah. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think that's so fascinating. And also the fact that since it is on Netflix, that should be constantly happening at least for a while because somebody 2-3 weeks or 2 months down the line can be like, oh, you know, I want to watch this show now for the first time. And then they're having that experience for the first time. You know, man. Even though it came out, you know, a couple months ago. And I just think that's so, so bizarre.
Yeah, no, it is, man. And that's what is so interesting because I always thought with your guys' like Big Brother seasons and stuff and Survivor, those would be perfect global places also. But like it is in a sense because they have global different versions for other countries.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, like you said, it's very interesting how it like because the word of mouth is big on Netflix. So people versus now we'll see it a little later. So. Yeah, man, it's very interesting.
And so you do the circle. You get some people arguably say that you should have won. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, if I look from it, Joey did a better end game than me. What Joey did that I ignored is he made really good relationships across the board with the new people.
Mm-hmm.
And the new people I kind of ignored because I was preserving the people closest to me.
That's how I play Big Brother too, like how you played.
Yeah, because my thing is if I have a couple ride or dies, mm-hmm. they'll protect me, especially when you're the biggest target, right? Like, you're winning all these competitions like you did and stuff. Like, you need people who are going to have your back. I didn't have the luxury, right, to play, you know, like that. But, I mean, no, for me, I put Joey first. He played an amazing game. You know, I got nothing but love for Joey. I'm glad if I lost to anyone, it was him. Yeah. I played the game as hard as I could. I guess it's up for interpretation if they thought I should have won, but I did everything I could.
Were you the top influencer the most times?
Yeah, I was influencer the most, 4 times, yeah.
The irony, the person that came in there with a different mind about
Yeah, real irony, man, yeah.
So the circle finishes, you're out now. I mean, you've been out for a little bit. How has the transition been back to reality? And now you actually have pretty growing social media, and you're pretty popular. And like, how are you adjusting to that?
Oh yeah, man. Look, I'm so grateful. Everyone has been so positive and stuff, but it is a bit overwhelming, to be honest, right? Because like, when you come out, it's hard because there's no roadmap for any of this stuff, like what you should do and what you shouldn't do. So I guess in that sense, it's a little bit overwhelming. In terms of the transition, I just went back to work and stuff. But yeah, I'm just taking it day by day. I'm really grateful for everything. So
yeah.
Are you close with – I know you're like close with Rebecca. Are you close with Seaburn now that the show's over?
Yeah. No, I love Seaburn. Seaburn's like my best friend. So like, me and Seaburn are really close.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like loved – it was very fun to watch someone pretend to be someone else. Like, yeah. As a viewer, it was really fun. And I know as, like, a player, though, you wanted to, like, get out all the catfish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it is fun. And, like, that's the thing. Like, people think I was so gung-ho against the morals of a catfish. No, it wasn't that. I just thought it was, like, you know, partly it was strategic, right? If you can paint a target on someone. Yeah. And then, like, but, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. It's a game. And I have so much love for Seaburn. I thought he played such a fun catfish, and he was so like, he was just so entertaining, and he's a good person, you know. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like he didn't come from a place of malice, he came from a place of like heart. So yeah,
right, yeah. No, it was really fun to watch him, so I was glad there was at least one catfish in the final five.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, at one point it would have been crazy if there were like 4 out of 5 catfishes. Mm-hmm.
What do you think will happen for like season 2 of The Circle?
Yeah, I mean, I predict there'll be more catfishes in the opening 8. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to become much more tactical. So, like, I think if our tactics were, like, at a 1, it's going to go to a 5 at least. And I honestly think a new player might win the next season.
Oh, that is interesting.
Because in season 2 of the UK, The Circle, the new player won because of tactics at the end.
Hmm. And so now for you, are you going to work at this startup and then sell it to a company and then become a billionaire? And the guy that used to be on The Circle, but now he's a billionaire. Is that the goal?
No, we're growing the company right now. We're really passionate about this stuff. So we're just taking it day by day. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know yet, but yeah, just growing it. Yeah, fun.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm so happy that you came and spoke with us. You're very fun and interesting.
Yeah, and, I hope we can hang out sometime.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I did have one more question.
Oh, sure, go for it.
So now you did The Circle. Are you done trying to get on Big Brother or Survivor?
No, man, my hearts have always been with those shows. If I had a shot, I'll still shoot my shot with those. I know it's very tough to pivot from across the brand shows. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would always, my heart's always with those shows. So if there's a shot, I'd shoot it.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. We hope they hear this. And whenever you're released from The Circle contract or whatever, they'll pull you over to the other side. But again, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And
yeah, thanks guys for having me.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed Shubi.
Mm-hmm.
Future governor.
Yeah, probably. Future something.
Nah, he has a lot of... Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I remember. Yeah, man. No. Mm-hmm. He's
or a, I think... It, and then, yeah, bro.
No, he's a fun guy. Mm-hmm. So, Nicole, what do you have for us today for weird or normal?
Okay, well, since we were talking about pizza, is it weird or normal to eat the crust of the pizza first and then you eat the bottom? Like, you eat it backwards.
Oh, that's 100% weird.
But people do it.
Do you do? You don't do that.
I don't do it. But that pizza I had last night with that Asian like zing sauce, I ate it backwards because the crust was so good.
But also, okay.
Crust is, okay, so crust is my favorite part, so I save it for last. People who like crust the least eat it first, I think. This was from our Coco Caliente podcast page on private group on Facebook, a suggestion.
Okay. So I would argue that if the pizza size is smaller, so last night, the pizza that you were talking about in reference to,
it was like a flatbread 10-piece one.
Yeah, so it was a small square. Mm-hmm. So you're able to eat, you know, one bite or a bite and a half. True. You eat one side and then you're already to the other side. You know what I mean?
True.
So
that's different.
But if you're eating a long traditional triangle, I mean, I just don't see, and it's just not. It makes it more difficult to eat it that way because you have something to grab onto. If I ate it backwards, you know, I just, my fingers would be in cheese.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Not only that it's weird because it's weird, it's just not practical. It doesn't seem practical to me. So, no, I don't do that. And I do think it's weird.
Yeah. I have seen people do it, but I mean, whatever. It's because they like the crust the least.
And I like the, I mean, depending on what it is, because like some pizzas, they'll make the pizza and like just, the crust will be bad, right? Like the pizza would have been good and it got overcooked or it got burnt or whatever the case may be. And then it's like, I don't even want the crust. But a lot of times I really do like the crust. Especially like if it's like Hungry Howie's and it has like seasoned crust or it's like that Pizza Hut with the butter, like crispy, you know, glazed butter or whatever on it and it tastes amazing. Or even Jet's. Jet's pizza is amazing.
Yeah.
But,
yes.
But anyway.
We love pizza.
That's my pizza rant because I do like pizza. But thinking about Weird or Normal, yesterday, Nicole was going with her bridesmaids to go bridesmaid dress shopping.
Yeah.
Right. So she had a friend that needed to paint her nails. All right. So she got nail polish from Nicole, but they didn't have time to get their nails to, she didn't have time to paint her nails here at the house because they had to leave. So she's like, oh, I'll just do it in the car. And I'm thinking to myself, well, our car's brand new. You're not going to paint your nails in my car. What if you spill nail polish like on something? It's going to be on there pretty much forever.
Right. Yeah. No, that is pretty dangerous.
So is that, is it just me or is that weird or is that normal?
Well, I just, I think it is kind of weird because if you're in an old, I mean, you'd have to be in a really old car because even my car that's 10 years old, I'd be scared to let someone paint their nails. I just don't trust myself painting my nails. I always put a towel underneath because if that stuff spills, you're right. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. That's a, am I, well, okay. So if it was my 2004 Honda Civic, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm not so much concerned about that car. Like that car's been through the ringer.
No, but
it's really old.
But if you do have cloth seats, it's not, it's going to be stuck there forever.
Exactly. And so I don't know. I just heard that and I was like, what car?
Jessica's funny. She's been my best friend for, since we went to Young Fives. No, did I go to Young Preschool? We went to preschool.
What's
together.
Young Fives?
I don't think I didn't go to Young Fives.
What is Young Fives?
That's like the grade before kindergarten.
There's a thing called Young Fives.
Yeah, so because you either, I think it's because you'll either be really young for your grade or really old for your grade.
Oh.
So, you know, you get into, okay, you're really young. You'll be a Young Five. So you go into Young Fives, and then you go into kindergarten.
See, I've never...
It's an extra year of school.
I've never understood that. It should be more like, all right, you're whatever age you are. And so for these... So what? When do people start school?
Like
five. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's say, what if they started doing where you can take a test when you're like four? Because sometimes...
I think they do.
Why not just start when you're four? Why do you have to wait till five? Why is five the number? And then other people fall in the part where it's like, they're going to start at their later five because school already started, right? And they can't go in because they're four still technically.
So then I think they can go to Young Fives if they're still four.
You get what I'm saying though?
Yeah. And I think there are like daycares that are kind of like interactive, like school.
Kinder care.
So preschool, that's preschool.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I've gone, that is, there is such thing. Preschool, you can start at like three, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
And yeah, I went to preschool as well and I rode the TAP bus there, which is a Thumb Area Transit bus there. That's where I met Jessica.
Okay.
And you go and you like learn stuff, but it's more of like playing, learning. But yeah, I started school like at three and a half.
I will admit that this is not my area of expertise just because it's been, I don't know, 20, It's been about 25 years since that was applicable to me.
And once we have kids, we'll know more.
Exactly. And that was my point. Once we even have a little noodle, a little bean in the stomach brewing, I'll be reading up on all that stuff, and then I'll be more knowledgeable to discuss more interesting topics about babies. Which reminds me, there's a Netflix series that I want to watch. It's called Babies. And I should probably get on the ball with that and learn a lot. I mean, next thing you know, Nicole's going to notice a transition whenever we start trying to have kids. That next thing, all the suggestions that pop up on Netflix are going to be like baby documentaries or baby science or
Nat Geo. That's good, though, because I want you to be educated in that stuff.
Yeah.
It'll help me.
It'll happen. Okay. So, Nicole, mm-hmm. we have a Spanish word of the day for you today. Okay.
Okay.
And it's not going to be easy. But I will make it, I'll help you make it easier. So, okay. The Spanish word of the day is obra. Obra.
Orange?
It's not a fruit. So, O-B-R-A, obra.
I've heard that. Oh, is it a Broadway show? Like an opera?
No, but you're on the right track. I thought you were about
performing?
To get it. So, no, you pretty much had it, but it's, and I guess... Obra de teatro, so like a theater play, a play.
Okay.
It's
okay,
a play.
So I got that kind
of. Yeah, you got that kind of. I knew what you meant.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like it.
Sounds like opera.
Yep.
Yeah, so no, that's not what it was.
And it sounds like Oberon.
Okay, so that would have been really wrong. So I'm happy you picked the latter.
Yep.
Anyway, so... Now this is the part where we read our reviews to you because we like you so much and we thank you for everything you guys do for us. And I had a different review today because I noticed that we don't get reviews from Canada on our thing because it's Apple Podcasts US. Mm. So I found a one from Canada and I felt bad and I didn't search all the way back through to see all the ones that we had missed before.
Oh, so there's like a different app you have to... Look on?
No, it was more like on Chartable.
Oh, okay.
Like it brings you all the reviews from everywhere.
Nice.
But I don't know. So I'm just gonna read this one.
Okay.
All right. So this is such a relatable couple, 5 stars. I love this podcast. I wish it was more than just once a week. Nick and Vic are such an amazing duo. I'm a big BB fan and love watching you two on The Amazing Race as well. I love today's podcast with London, which was last podcast, mm-hmm. or a few
two podcasts ago.
Yeah. I started crocheting a little over a year ago, and I'm now following her on social media. Love listening to your podcast as I crochet. Keep up the great work, you two.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that's from Saskatchewan, Canada. I don't know how to Saskatchewan, whatever. But that's from Canada, so thank
you. Cool. And if you guys didn't listen to last week's episode with Shane, that is an amazing episode. So
Shane
I would
McAnally.
Definitely go over to that episode. By far the best episode I think we've ever had, in my opinion.
Shane McAnally. Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Okay, so this one is from Taylor Valley called Small Town Talk, 5 stars. I love listening to both of you talk about the small town you live in. I'm from a small town just like yours, and I can't believe the similarities. It's hard to relate to public figures, but you two make it easy. Keep up the amazing work, and thank you so much for making my work day go by faster.
Aw, that was sweet.
That is sweet.
A fellow small towner.
Yes.
That's so cool. Well, we appreciate you guys. Please rate, review, and subscribe the easiest ways on Apple Podcasts, that little purple app on your iPhone. You can always go to www.cococalientepodcast.com to listen to the podcast. And you can also buy our merchandise there. And if you want to listen, you can always listen on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And if you hear an advertisement or your coupon code or something that you're looking for, head on over to our website, cococalientepodcast.com, because there we have them all listed for you, and they're very just clickable. So it is hard if you're driving to remember, what was that? Because even when I'm on Netflix and I'm like, oh, that's a really good movie, I'm going to remember that movie to watch with Victor. I can't remember the names of it.
She never does. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at CocoCalientePod and on Instagram at CocoCalientePodcast.
And we also now have a public Facebook group, so head over there, CocoCalientePodcast.
Oh, yes.
Like that page. We'll be doing some cool stuff over there.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.